stared at her colleague. Pollitt was sweaty, his shirt a rumpled mess, his eyes bloodshot. "Well," she said, "that's that." "Maybe," he said tightly. "Don't go off the deep end," she warned.
"Sure. We'll just sit here until the sea level reaches our floor, huh?"
Like similar facilities back on Earth, the Yamagata Hotel's gymnasium was called a fitness center. It was filled with shining equipment, had thick, dark blue wall-to-wall carpeting, soft music piped in through the ceiling speakers, and air fresheners sprayed through the air to mask the stink of sweat. Unlike similar hotel facilities on Earth, this lunar gym was almost always filled with men and women, even children, puffing, bending, lifting, grunting, pedaling away in grim determination. Anyone who stayed on the moon for more than 2 weeks was not allowed to return earthward until they had put in enough exercise hours to convince the authorities that their hearts were ready to face a full 1G once again. Dan pedaled on a stationary bike next to Tamara, knowing that he was in a race against time and chance. Sooner or later, someone would recognize that Roger Wilcox was actually the wanted fugitive Dan Randolph. Or one of the well-bribed hotel employees would turn him in for the reward that the GEC was offering. That must have been Kate's idea. "Putting a price on my head," he thought as he churned away at the bike. $10,000. Damned piker, I'm worth a lot more than that. Hell, I've put out more than that in bribes already. Across the gym, Big George was lifting enormous barbells, lying flat on a padded bench and hefting the tremendous weights like a cartoon character strongman. It would take weeks before either George or Tucker could condition their bodies properly after years of lunar living. Tucker, convinced that at his age he could never get back into good enough shape, had flatly refused even to come to the gym. "I don't have weeks," Dan knew. "I'll have to leave them here when I head back to Earth." He had ensconced Tamara in her own room at the hotel once Tucker had cranked out fake identification for her. The old man's a whiz with the computer. Dan realized that Tucker could make himself a multimillionaire with his talented fingers anytime he wanted to, but he feared being caught again and kept as low a profile as he could. So Dan would head for Earth with Tamara. The Mafia couldn't threaten her if they didn't know where she was. Tamara Duchamp had already disappeared, as far as the security computer system was concerned. The exotic dark beauty pedaling alongside Roger Wilcox, her gym shorts revealing long, smooth-skinned legs, was a tourist named Amelia Temple from the Caribbean island of St. Croix. The odometer on the bike's console beeped. 10 miles, Dan said. I'm finished. He slid off the bike's seat, backside aching, sweat dripping everywhere except into his eyes, thanks to the headband he wore.
I still have 1.7 miles to go, said Tamara, hardly puffing.
Dinner in my suite, he said. She nodded and went back to the video she was watching on the bike console's built-in screen. Tamara had slept in her own room since that first night they had shared a week earlier. It's better that way, Dan told himself as he lingered in the gym's shower, letting the gloriously hot water sluice over his body. We shouldn't be complicating each other's lives. They're complicated enough as it is. Besides, he admitted ruefully to himself, she's right. I love Jane. I've loved her damned near all my life. The thought made him grin. That's the way the world works, buddy. You can get just about any woman you want, but you want the one you can't get. As he dried off and began to dress, his grin slowly evaporated. There's one woman you want, and she's right here within reach. Kate, the treacherous Scarlet. She's in with Malik, and it looks like she's in with the crime syndicate, too. There must be a hell of a lot of valuable information stored in that pretty head of hers. Tucker had tried to hack into Kate's private files, but unlike most of the Astro programs, Kate's were strongly protected with programs that would trigger alarms if anyone tried to access them without the proper code. But I could access her all right, Dan said to himself as he rode the lift up to his suite. I could grab that red-headed bitch in my two hands and access the hell out of her. 31. That evening, after dinner, after Tamara had gone back to her own room, Dan asked Big George to come with him. He did not say where until they were well out of the hotel,
Riding a powered walkway through the underground corridors that led to the Astro office complex.
Kite Williams, George was aghast. The one who's running Astro now? Are you out of your fucking mind?
I've got to see her, Dan said grimly.
You'll get us all caught and sent to the penal colony.
You can go back to the hotel if you want to.
What good would that do? They catch you, they pump you full of babble juice, and then they catch us.
I wish I had some truth serum with me right now. George shook his smooth-cheeked face. Under Dan's orders, he had faithfully shaved every morning, complaining loudly each time about the pain to his sensitive skin.
Let me get this straight,
George said as they rode past homebound Astro employees heading the other way.
You're going to go back to your office, say hello to her, and ask her to spill her guts to you?
Something like that.
You're fucking daft, my friend.
She screwed me out of my company, Dan blurted.
And now you want a riper, is that it?
No.
Then what?
I want to... He hesitated, groping for words. I want to make her know that she hasn't finished me. I want to spit in her eye and tell her that I'm going to take back everything she's stolen from me. And I'll break her back in the process. Figuratively, not literally.
And the thought of sticking it to her has never crossed your mind,
George said. Well,
it's a fucking enormous risk, just to impress a woman.
Dan shrugged. The big kid is right, he knew. This is crazy. But I've got to do it. I can't leave the moon without seeing the expression on her face when I tell her that I'm going to get even.
You had a lot of women in your day, didn't you?
George asked. Dan looked sideways at him. In my day.
I've only been with the ladies over at the camps in Nubium.
A sorry bunch, Dan knew, but he said, in the dark, pal, all cats are gray.
I've heard that, George said. Is it really true?
The big kid looked almost melancholy. Dan could not lie to him. No, it's not, Georgie. Women are as various and marvelous as fine wines. You can spend your life tasting and still not be halfway through the list. George brightened considerably.
Really?
There's hope for you, Georgie. Why don't you try smiling back at some of the women who watch you in the gym?
Oh, I don't think...
Try it. Break the ice. They'll come over and talk to you. You'll see. They were coming to the end of the powered walkway. Beyond lay the corridors of the Astro complex. Glancing at his wristwatch, Dan saw that it was well past 9 p.m. Most of the regular staff was gone, even the eager beavers who worked late. But if Kate's taken over my office... Then she's probably living in my quarters as well. If she's not in one of them, she'll be in the other. Mad dogs and Englishmen, thought Zachary Freiberg as he jogged along the broad, flat Santa Monica beach in the noonday sun. The surf was down, but the public beach was busy with shapely young ladies in skimpy bikinis sunning themselves while muscular young men showed off for them, playing volleyball, hoisting weights, or just flexing well-oiled biceps. They'd better be well-oiled with sunblock, Zach thought, or else the UV coming through what's left of the ozone layer will give them all skin cancer. There was a lot of skin visible to worry about. Zach felt distinctly out of place, old and puffing and pot-bellied in his sweat-stained running suit. He had bolted from his office, unable to stand the pressure that was building up inside him. Invited to an international conference on the greenhouse effect being held at a hotel just minutes from his Caltech office, Zach had been refused permission to attend by the GEC bureaucrats who feared a premature disclosure of the impending crisis that would cause widespread public panic and have a deleterious effect on the global economic balance. I should have told him to shove it and gone to the conference anyway, Zach said to himself as he jogged along the beach. Yeah. And then they'd send you to Zaire or Patagonia or some other sweetheart of a location. You and Jesse and the kids, too. Premature disclosure. They'd better disclose something soon. Time's ticking away, and from what I can see, all they're doing is holding conferences of their own and shuffling papers, and trying to keep the lid on the situation. He stared at the soft swells surging in toward the beach. Is it my imagination or is the beach narrower than it was last year? I ought to call the local parks department and have them make a measurement.
Hey, Zach, wait up,
Surprised, Zack halted and turned.